There's been a resurgence in the news recently about an area west of Rocky Mountain House, designated as the Bighorn Wildland Provincial Park. Do you want to speak to me a little bit about what that, the history of that, how it's gotten to this point, and how you're involved in this?
Mm-hmm. The Bighorn is one of those areas that just is a real gem. It is nestled between Banff National Park and Jasper National Park. The parks actually continue through there, but this is a bit of a puzzle piece that would fit into a notch. Part of it has Highway 11 going through that people would know. And the government in recent months brought forward a proposal for that area called Bighorn Country. Tremendous concept that was actually, in my mind, from what I can see and read, based on proposals that have been brought forward for that area since probably the 70s, if not earlier. Parts of the Bighorn area were actually parts of the national parks at one time, brought out for different reasons, mostly, I think, for potential resource extraction. And there is a piece that aligns right along the two national parks called, that we call Bighorn Wildland, and is being proposed in this current round of consultation as Bighorn Wildland Provincial Park. That area is one of the last pristine wildernesses in this part of Alberta, in the Rockies. It is the headwaters for the North Saskatchewan River that brings fresh, clean water to Edmonton and well beyond into the prairies in Saskatchewan. It is a home for important big wildlife that need space to roam to actually be able to sustain themselves. It has critical wildlife corridors and prime protection areas. It has magnificent rocks and geological features, fabulous valleys that are soft and moist, and water is abundant, wildflowers. It provides tremendous opportunity to hike and ride horseback, to camp, and to see the front ranges of the Rockies, and to sustain a true wilderness area. That area in and of itself, it makes really great sense to protect as a wildland provincial park with very limited development, to keep it from being commercialized, to have that place that really is wild and free. Right adjacent to it, there are transition areas that have, as well as the wildland park area right now, been managed as public land use zones, or PLUSes, they're often called. And those management tools have really helped to provide some rules for how the area will be used and cared for. There are other areas further east that haven't had the PLUS designation put on them that are part of this concept that the government has brought forward at this time. And in terms of the details of the plans, exactly what will happen where, I see those as things that will unfold in the weeks, months, years to come. But the concept itself is one that is worthy of moving forward with from our association's perspective. It is one that has been discussed for years, and consulted on for years was major, major consultations in terms of the Eastern Slopes policy that was developed in the 70s and 80s, in terms of regional planning that was begun. I think the first focus group was in 2006 that I attended for how we would plan regionally for Alberta, and it was based a lot on watersheds. So the South Saskatchewan region plan has been rolling out as part of that initial idea that we should have regional land use planning. And the North Saskatchewan region plan would cover this area of the Bighorn. And so indeed, this is part of all of that planning. There was regional committees that were set up to give advice about what they felt would be appropriate plan for how that land would be used and what the land uses really are in this day and age. And I think there has been tremendous consultation. There is the wisdom that comes from the people who are responsible on the land for what is happening, enforcement, for management for the wildlife, what's happening to the fish in that area. There, right now, there's tremendous concern coming from even the civil servants themselves that they need things like the tools that a public land use zone gives them in the areas where there hasn't been one, and that they could support well-managed activities in other areas and support for protecting a pristine area as pristine area. There are ideas that are not without controversy, and in fact, I think controversy sometimes, when it's well-informed, helps bring better decisions in the end. And I think we're seeing higher level of participation. I know from our association there have been hundreds of letters that we know of and have been copied on sent to the government in support of the concept, and we're working forward. That consultation actually closes next Friday the 15th, and it'll be an important time then for the government. I'm sure they've been tallying all along the comments that they're getting and weighing the decisions that need to be made. And as our elected decision makers, they have a responsibility to consider all of those factors and make sure that they make the best possible decision they can with the information they have at this time.
Could I ask you what some of the resistances are to why this wouldn't go ahead and how some of those things could be unblocked?
I think sometimes change in and of itself is a factor that most of us are really worried about. From a conservation perspective, we could be very worried about what regulations and changes might be that may not protect it in a way that we think it could be or should be. From a user's perspective, I see that people are worried that, for example, I had someone ask me, well, does this mean that I won't be able to ice fish on Abraham Link anymore? And I thought, why would you think that? Why did you get the idea that the change would mean with the designation that now you couldn't do and enjoy ice fishing like you always have? And I'm not sure, but it shows me that when you don't really know if that's what the change is going to lead to, that you would feel like, I'm not certain, and I'm going to tell you that I don't want this to change because this is what I want to do. And while I don't believe there's any reason that ice fishing on Abraham Lake is ever going to change, or that there will, you know, continue to be the opportunity to random camp, something that I really enjoy, I don't see those things going away because we would put this concept of a country and a plan that addressed the protection that's needed for specific things, like an area of stream that is one of the most important spawning areas for bull trout, that had an unbelievable number of crossings created to the point where we probably were at great risk of extirpating those fish without tools to say, you can't do this. And so through the course of the past few years, some of those rules are tightening up, but we're hearing from the civil servants that they need that public land use zone in that area. And so opposition is, well, I want to be able to go across that stream anytime I want and anywhere I want. And we have to realize that there is a consequence and that we may have to change our ways. So change is in some ways frightening, and in large part any change, because we don't always understand the ripple effects and the unintended consequences. And hopefully we will make really good decisions.
For listeners that are interested in a bit more information about this, where could they find that or locate that to get the pros and cons, so to get the bigger picture and what the benefits are and what the roadblocks are in this? Where can they find that?
The government itself, Alberta Environment and Parks, AEP, I think, .ab.ca is a website that has a wealth of information about what they're considering. A number of organizations, including our own, albertawilderness.ca, has a wealth of information that includes the history of the area, the kinds of consultation processes, the submissions that our association has made, the opportunities that have been there. There are books that are published. Alberta Wilderness Association published a book called Bighorn Wildland that is a wonderful read, and stories and facts from people that have been involved with that park through the last few generations and or decades. And there are, as I said, if you search on the internet, I'm sure would bring up a number of organizations with differing opinions and opportunities to pursue some of those questions that one might have in their mind about why is this a big decision? Why is it causing people to feel so strongly in opposite, polarizing probably ways? And as I said, I have faith and hope that really good decisions will be made, because the controversies and differing opinions are right out there and being well known.